Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello everyone, welcome to the second episode of Triple Captain Extra with me, Luke Jurdy. I'm at Luke Jurdy on Twitter and Instagram. I am your host. It is just me for these extra episodes alongside our main podcast, Triple Captain, which is at FPL Triple Cap on social media. So give us a follow on there, give me a follow. Feel free to interact with me on there. Ask questions, comment on my team. I could comment on your team. We've also got a Discord channel, which is really kicking off nicely now. The link for that to join is on our social media. If you'd like to join my Triple Captain Extra Mini League for FPL geeks and obsessives only, the code to join is M5VR3F. M5VR3F. If you can't remember that, it's on the notes of this episode, and it can also be found on our socials. So join that if you like. We've got a lovely small group of people at the moment in that league, so it should be quite fun. There's only about 10 of us so far, so join that if you like, and hopefully we can build from there. So are we ready for the season? I'm so excited for the season. I woke up this morning really, really excited to finalize my draft for game week one. And I'm 95% sure that this draft is going to be my final one. I've ran through loads of stats, fixtures, form going into this season. So I'm fairly confident that this is going to be my game week one draft that I'm about to go through with you. Obviously, it will depend on press conferences and things like that, depending on injury news, but I'm fairly confident this is what I'm going to start with. So I'm going to take you through my draft, the thought process behind it. I've just written an article for the Fantasy Football Hub as well, which also takes you through my game week one draft. I'll probably go into a bit more detail in depth, my thinking behind it in this episode. And just really looking forward to getting started and everything changing, and then probably ripping up the game week one draft, and all that work will go out the window. But it's all fun. I enjoy it, I think. So here we go. Let's start with goalkeeper. So as you know, from the other episode, this hasn't changed for me. My goalkeeper is Sanchez from Brighton. Brighton, as we know, their defensive stats from the second half of last season were really, really good. They improved a lot. They got 7 clean sheets, only 3 behind Chelsea with 10, level with United on 7, and Everton and Man City were the other two standout options there for clean sheets with 8. So Brighton, for me, could offer really good value this season at the back. Sanchez is a bit of a no-brainer at 4.5 million. I think he's the best of the picks there. The other choice, of course, would be Backman at Watford. But I don't love going for a promoted goalkeeper. There's a lot of unknowns there, and they could completely collapse in those first few game weeks. They haven't got good fixtures either. Brighton's fixtures also stand out really, really well for the first 8 game weeks. So Sanchez is my choice. I've explained on the other pod why I don't go for premium goalkeepers to start with. It's that 1.5 million saving can be spent elsewhere in the team, as you'll see. So Sanchez is my goalkeeper. Ben Foster is my backup goalkeeper at 4 million. He could potentially gain his place back from Backman for Watford. Apparently he played in goal a few times for them in the Championship last season. You just got to hope that Sanchez doesn't get injured. And if he does, it's probably a transfer out. But that's the kind of risk you take for that extra 0.5 million saving. I think I started with two 4.5 million rotating goalkeepers a couple of seasons ago. And that was kind of the main thing that managers would do. But rotation is tricky because quite often you'd rotate thinking one had the better fixture and the other would keep a clean sheet. So it's just not nice having those points on your bench. So Sanchez for me, set and forget keeper. He may come out when I decide to play the wild card, but I'm hoping that won't be till about game week 7 or game week 8. That is looking good, by the way. If you are planning on wild card in game week 7 and game week 8, looks to be a good time to do it. Lots of fixtures turn. So just keep your eye on those fixtures around that time, and because it could well be worth hitting the wild card button there, depending on how things go for the first few game weeks, of course. So Sanchez is my goalkeeper. In terms of stats, I'm going to take you through defender stats. Of course, we've all spoken about Alexander Arnold. He is consistently top of the lists for defensive stats. We all know that. Top of the list from the season and also top of the list from most recent form from this calendar year. So TAA is in there in my team, as he is with most of you. I think it's a no-brainer. Liverpool have got great clean sheet potential, even with Robertson out, I think, because they've got Van Dijk back. That's massive for them. So TAA is in there for me, along with Luke Shaw. Now, I did a comparison between Luke Shaw and Luca Dean of Everton, and Luke Shaw came out on top. Chances created way more than Dean. In terms of big chances, Luke Shaw isn't up there. So you perhaps suggest that the quality of the chances that he's creating isn't as good as, say, Luca Dean, Cresswell, TAA, even Soufal beat him there. But I think just the number of chances that he creates and the fact that he plays for United, who have got good clean sheet potential with good opening fixtures, makes him, again, a bit of a no-brainer for me. His XA is just behind TAA for this calendar year. He got four assists, whereas TAA and Soufal got five. So Luke Shaw is a shoe-in for me, especially after that Euros performance. So next up was a little bit tricky for me. It came down to whether I wanted three cheap defenders that couldn't all rotate, or someone like Luca Dean or Soufal. Now, Luca Dean's stats are pretty good and Everton's fixtures are pretty good, but there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding them. Calvert-Lewin, we're not sure if he's fit or not. And I think, to be honest, even if he is declared fit now, I probably still won't go for him or Luca Dean. The good thing about FPL is we have free transfers. So there's chances to bring those in. If they get off to a flyer and you really need Calvert-Lewin or Dean, you can get them in. For me, Luke Shaw's a better option than Dean, and I think there's better value to be had elsewhere if you're saving those 0.5 millions. The other option for me would be Soufal. Now, Soufal's stats are pretty, pretty good from this calendar year. From January 21 onwards, he was fourth of defenders for big chances created. He was seventh for chances created. Doesn't have many shots, but he was top of the assists table with TAA. He's got a decent XA, decent XGI, and West Ham have got good fixtures. So at 5 million, I think he may be priced 0.5 million too cheap. And I think he's a great option. The reason that I haven't gone for him is you'll see when I talk through my midfield, I needed that extra 0.5 million to get one of my midfielders in. So Soufal unfortunately hasn't made the cut, but I think he could be a really, really good option at 5 million to start the season with. Who has made the cut? I've decided on three rotating 4.5 million and a 4 million defender. The 4.5 million defender, first one is Veltman from Brighton. As we've spoken about with Brighton, I think their defensive stats are great and I think they offer great value. And I think Veltman is their best 4.5 million defensive option. Lewis Dunk will score goals. He scored 5 last season. And he's always up there for corners. He's their biggest threat at corners. But for 5 million, I think Soufal actually offers better value than Dunk. And as I've spoken about, they're just 0.5 too expensive for me. So Veltman has come in there. Obviously, I've got Sanchez, so it would have to be a really good fixture for Brighton to play, to go double defence. And I won't be doing it for game week one because I'd like to see how they fare in those first few fixtures before necessarily playing Veltman. But we shall see. As I've spoken about as well before, Brighton rotate very nicely with Leeds. So I've gone for Luke Ayling at 4.5 million, my other option. Ben White could have been in there for Arsenal, but I think Ayling offers a bit more attacking threat. And as I say, him and Veltman rotate nicely with fixtures. So Ben White can always come in later, but I just don't think he's a centre-back. Luke Ayling's a full-back. I think he was a little unlucky not to get assists last season. I'm not saying he's going to get assists this season, but he offers a bit more attacking threat than Ben White for me in a Leeds team that I really like and admire. And it kind of remains to be seen how Arsenal will play. Leeds, incidentally, in the second half of last season, improved a lot. They got 6 clean sheets and only conceded 19 goals, level with Man City. From January 21 onwards. Those kind of stats are really good. And at home, they are much, much better than away. And I think with Elland Road being packed again with fans, I think they could get a few clean sheets at home. So I think Ayling's a good option to rotate with Veltman. And of course, my 4 million option isn't Amati anymore. Leicester look like they're going to be signing Yannick Vestergaard from Southampton, which puts Amati in the kind of risky rotation category. I have, of course, gone for Tsimikas at Liverpool. 4 million defensive option at one of the best defensive teams in the league. Now they've got Van Dijk back. Tsimikas just offers fantastic value. It's almost too good to be true. We can't turn down that 4 million option. I know people are very excited about Diogo Jota, but he carries rotation risk. And at 7.5 million, I think there's other options that aren't as risky as Jota. And if you're tripling up on Everton like I am, TAA, Tsimikas and Salah, I mean, are the best options for me. Of course, Robertson, his injury doesn't seem as bad as it first seemed. And he's probably going to be back after that international break. But if we've got a 4 million defender for 3 game weeks, and then it's the international break, we can always then take him out for a different 4 million defender that's perhaps come to the fore. And as I say, it doesn't matter too much to me because I've got Veltman and Ayling to rotate in and out. It doesn't matter too much. I'm most likely going to play 3 at the back, mostly. So not Tsimikas not playing isn't necessarily going to affect me. I think having that bench, 3 playing, 3 starters on the bench is going to be really important, particularly at the start of this season as COVID's still affecting things. A lot of things up in the air. I think it's necessary to have that strong bench. So Tsimikas is in there for me. So we've got Sanchez and Foster. We've got TAA, Luke Shaw, Veltman, Ayling and Tsimikas. I'm most likely going to start with a double Liverpool defence of Alexander-Arnold and Tsimikas for that lovely opening fixture against Norwich, along with Luke Shaw, who plays Leeds. Few more players to watch in defence. Matt Target, pretty good stats. I prefer Soufal, but Target isn't a bad option. I perhaps wouldn't include him straight away, because of Villa's fixture swing after game week 3, but one to watch. Another one to watch, Matt Lowton. Consistently up there for stats and the best 4.5 million defensive option from the second half of last season. He created 24 chances. He was up there for XA, 1.9. Sorry, I'm talking about Lowton here, not Target. Targets. I'm getting confused. So Target created 24 chances. Lowton didn't. Lowton created 6 big chances. So he was joint third behind Cresswell and TAA. He also had a good XA and a good XGI for Burnley. he could be one to watch. When Burnley's fixtures turn, I will be right on Matt Lowton. And funnily enough, Brighton's fixtures turn after game week 8. It could be an easy switch from Veltman to Lowton for me as Burnley's fixtures get better in game week 9. So he is certainly one to watch for me. Also, we can't rule out Cresswell again this season. He hasn't had a lot of love, and I think that's because of his price point. And there's also Luke Shaw in there at that price, and also Luca Dean. Don't write Cresswell off. So that brings me on to midfielders. Salah and Bruno haven't changed. I don't think there's much really to go into there. It's the other midfield spots that we're interested in. Now, I ran a few comparisons. Basically realised that I had 14 million to spend on midfielders. So that is... sorry, no, I didn't. 14.5 million to spend on midfielders. I've gone with Ilkay Gundogan and I've gone with Harvey Barnes for Leicester. Now, Gundogan has gone in there. I did a three-way comparison of last season, which is really good feature now on Fantasy Football Scout, between Gundogan, Greenwood and Barnes. And Gundogan came top on goals, XG, XG on target, XA, XGI, final third touches, BPS, big chances, his conversion rate and chances created. Harvey Barnes was a close second, and Greenwood was kind of way down there over the course of the season. But as we know, Greenwood improved massively as the season went on. So I did a comparison between Gundogan and Greenwood from game week 22 onwards, and I still preferred Gundogan. Came out on top on nearly all of the metrics except for shots. So Greenwood's goal threat may be greater, but Gundogan is more accurate and more creative. Without KDB as well, his stats massively improve. Massively improve. I was on Twitter yesterday talking to Tom from Who Got the Assist, and Rob Pick on Twitter, and Rob had handily got some great stats from Gundogan from Fantasy Football Fix, which basically suggested that he is much, much better attacking-wise without KDB in the team. So therefore, I'm thinking Gundogan's off to a good start. I also think he's going to be the most nailed out of the City attacking assets. He was brought off at kind of 60 minutes on the Community Shield, suggesting that Pep wanted to rest him ahead of that first game. Obviously, you never know with Pep. He might rotate the whole team in game week 2 with Norwich against Norwich and start and play all the reserves. So Gundogan may well miss out. But I think if anybody's nailed from those City assets, it's him. And the last time they played Spurs without De Bruyne in the team, Gundogan scored 2 goals. I think if anyone's going to score in those against those big teams, Gundogan could be right up there. And what I like about him as well is that he's also got that assist potential. I've paired him up with Harvey Barnes, and this was the decision that came down to. It was either going to be Soufal and probably Rafinha, or a 4.5 million defender like Ayling, like Veltman and Harvey Barnes. I've gone with Harvey Barnes. I really, really like his stats pre-injury. I compared him and Gundogan between, so it was Gundogan's form from the final the final third of the season, and Barnes pre-injury. So 13 appearances each there. So Barnes's most recent form before his injury and Gundogan's most recent form up to the end of the season. And there wasn't much between them. Gundogan again took it on his XG numbers, his XGI numbers, big chances. He's more accurate. He created more big chances. He's also on corners. So you've got that creative output from Gundogan. But Barnes took it on penalty touches, shots in the box, shots on target. He was level with Gundogan on chances created, level on XA, level on goals, and level on assists. And as we know, I favoured Barnes over Greenwood because he's cheaper and I think he's a bit less of a rotation risk than Mason Greenwood. So it was going to be Barnes for me. I also compared Barnes and Rafinha, and again, there wasn't much to choose between them. Rafinha's more creative. Barnes has got more goal threat. Now, for me, Rafinha, if they both had really good fixtures, Rafinha would probably take it for me, because you could argue that he offers goals and assists, whereas Barnes is much more just goals only. But it's the fixtures that win it for Barnes, for me. He's got Wolves, West Ham, Norwich, Man City, Brighton, Burnley and Palace. Now that game week four against City, I could potentially rotate him for Veltman, who plays Brentford. Lovely fixture for Brighton there, depending on how Brentford start, of course. But there's a potential to rotate him for that City game. I'd still be inclined to play him against Man City. I mean, we saw how Leicester played against them recently. He could quite easily score in that. There's a slight risk that he's going to get brought off after 60, 70 minutes, but I am willing to take that risk when I've seen his stats. They're very, very, very good. Rafinha was the other choice, and I think I will be bringing him in at some point, probably in game week 5 or 6, and it's an easy switch from Barnes to him. I've thought about it. Realistically, I'd play Rafinha and rotate him with Veltman against Everton, Burnley, Newcastle, West Ham and Watford, whereas Barnes would play Wolves, West Ham, Norwich, Brighton, Burnley and Palace. So there's not much to choose between them at all, but I've gone with Harvey Barnes. Bringing up the rear is Josh Brownhill of Burnley, 4.5 million bench fodder. I thought about Billy Gilmore, but I think Brownhill is a little bit safer. He's nailed to start. He's done it in the Prem already. He's gonna be warming the bench, most likely third bench spot. So Brownhill is the one that makes it for me. But having those playing bench players is really, really important, I think, at the start of the season. Forwards. I can't remember the forwards that I said I was picking on the most recent triple captain pod, on the main pod. But I've gone with Mikhail Antonio, Danny Ings and Ivan Toney. Now, I did another useful three-way comparison between Antonio, Wilson and Ings last season. Their full season averages. And it was quite surprising. Antonio and Wilson beat Ings on pretty much everything apart from BPS and accuracy. We all know Ings is accurate, and him playing for Southampton meant he had to be accurate in front of goal. And, you know, I think with him playing at Villa, he's going to get more chances despite Grealish not being there. You know, they've signed Buendia, they've signed Bailey, they've got Traore, they've got El Ghazi, who also got very good stats, by the way. I think, to be honest, I think if El Ghazi or Traore was nailed, they'd be in a lot of our teams because their stats are pretty damn good for that second half of the season. It's just a shame that they're not nailed to start. But yeah, I think I've still gone with Ings because of those first three fixtures. You can't ignore them. You just cannot ignore Watford, Newcastle and Brentford to start for Villa versus West Ham, Villa and Southampton for Callum Wilson. Ings has got better fixtures. He's new to Villa. He's going to be firing on all cylinders. He could get off to a flyer. Injury prone, yes, but I'm hoping he starts those three games. There's a suggestion that he's going to start up front with Watkins, which might only improve his output. Watkins needs to improve his finishing. He might have a shot on target. Ings can clear it up. I think Villa look good for those first three games, and I think it'd be silly to ignore Ings. Antonio is the other one. It was a toss-up between Antonio and Wilson, but Antonio wins it for me as he will get more chances than Callum Wilson. I think West Ham are a better team. Antonio has more shots in the box, more touches in the final third, creates more chances. He's got very similar XG, a better XA and a better XGI as well. But there isn't a lot between them again. Callum Wilson could be a great differential to start the season with. I've gone for Antonio. I've gone for Ings. I could have gone for all three of them. But again, that would have meant moving Harvey Barnes down by a million to maybe someone like Benrahma. But then I'd have double West Ham or Willock. But then that would be double Newcastle. Willock, of course, not confirmed yet as a Newcastle player. But we expect him to be. And I do think he offers great value at 6 million there. But I wouldn't want to start with double Newcastle. I probably wouldn't want to start with double West Ham, although that's not the worst thing in the world. So that's what made the decision for me to have Ivan Toney at 6.5 million. Brentford's fixtures are great. He's going to be owned by a hell of a lot of teams. And if he gets off to a good start, you're going to be left behind and you're going to be scrambling to get him in. And I don't want one of my first free transfers to be chasing the pack with getting Toney. So, you know, you could give yourself a head start. And if you're going for proven, consistent FPL assets, then Antonio, Wilson and Ings aren't a bad three to start with. Of course, you've got Calvert-Lewin and Bamford lurking in the wings as well, but we're not sure about Calvert-Lewin's fitness, and Bamford's fixtures don't get particularly good until game week 5. That's not to say he won't score against the big teams, and I think he's a great option. But to start with, I'm going with fixtures and I'm taking the risk on Toney. Ings, easy switch to Wilson or Jimenez in game week 4, or Calvert-Lewin, of course. There's loads of strikers at that price bracket that can be switched in and out. Of course, with Lukaku coming in, we could all be scrambling for him very quickly. We could also be scrambling for Harry Kane, because even if he stays at Tottenham, it's Harry Kane. He's still going to score goals. It's whether he decides to put his full heart and soul into Spurs. I expect him to, as he's a professional, but it's so clear that he wants away. So the good thing about the start of this season is that we've got time to wait on Harry Kane, to wait on Lukaku. Chelsea's fixtures don't really get good till game week 6. Lukaku's only just coming in, and he won't have trained with them yet. So there's all these kind of variables which mean we can wait and see on Kane and Lukaku, which makes those 6 to 8 million forwards really good options to start with your premiums of Bruno and Salah. So that's my team. Starting lineup for game week 1 will be Sanchez in goal. It will be TAA, Shaw and Tsimikas at the back. Salah captain, Bruno Fernandes, Harvey Barnes and Ilkay Gundogan. And my forwards are Antonio, Ings and Toney. On the bench, we've got Foster, Veltman, Ayling and Brownhill. I'm really, really excited about this team. I'm really excited about the new season. It could, of course, all go out the window game week 1 when Norwich score against Liverpool. But it remains to be seen. So fingers crossed it all goes well. Quickly, just going on to a question that I had from my friend Sej from our Discord. Possibly mentioned the need for a get-out plan. When we all realise that half our players aren't playing or are crap, do we have a plan for those 4 million defenders that aren't needed when players are back fit or new players brought in? Is wildcarding the best answer, or do you simply go safe with your picks from the start? So I feel like I've gone pretty safe with my picks from the start. I was toying with the idea of having Amate and Tsimikas as 2 4 million defenders, but I think that's silly, particularly as Leicester are buying Vestergaard and Robertson will be back from injury. Tsimikas is a transfer down the line, but as I've said, he could also sit on my bench as I can rotate Veltman and Ayling really, really nicely. So if Robbo does come back, it's not as urgent to get Tsimikas out my team. I've gone fairly safe. I mean, if you look at my team, I think every one of them is nailed to start. I think Barnes is a slight risk. Gundogan is a slight risk. Antonio and Ings are slight risk of injury. But apart from that, I think they're all pretty much nailed to start. And if they don't, I've got Veltman, Ayling and Brownhill, who all three are nailed to start on my bench. So I think you've got to go safe to start with. And have a little bit of a plan to move players on. Of course, like I said, with Tsimikas, that's my plan. I'll move him on when Robbo is back, and hopefully there'll be a 4 million defender that has come to the fore and that is playing every game, so it'll be an easy switch. If not, like I say, he could stay on my bench. But yeah, just have a plan. I mean, I've seen people putting in Grealish, putting in Mahrez. Just know that Pep will rotate. You need that strong bench. And I say that, and I've got Gundogan, but I feel like he's just about as nailed as you can be from an attacking asset point of view. I think without De Bruyne, without Foden, he needs Gundogan in there. Bernardo Silva wants to leave. You know, I may be wrong. But I think going safe is important. I would never plan to wild card really early. I wouldn't plan to wild card game week 3 or 4. I know a lot of people end up doing it after bad starts, but you don't want to set yourself up for that. You'd rather wait, you know, for that game week 7, game week 8, where the fixtures turn and everything's going pretty well, when you've got a lot more info on players to pull that trigger. So I would go safe. If you're planning on starting with Tsimikas and Amate, I'd maybe rethink that strategy, or at least plan to move them out if they aren't playing. But safety is the way to go for me to start with. In terms of transfer planning, there'll be things that I look at, you know, like Villa's fixture swing. So there's the reason I haven't gone double Villa is because after game week 3, the fixtures turn nasty. I've gone for Danny Ings. My plan will be to move him out for one of those mid-price forwards ahead of game week 4. Tony's fixtures at Brentford change kind of game week 5-ish. So there could be a plan to move for Armstrong, the new signing at Southampton, or maybe Pookie, or maybe down to a 4.5 million forward. So then I could upgrade someone like Harvey Barnes to, someone at 9 million, Sancho perhaps at 9.5 million, or Gundogan to Sancho, or Gundogan to Son. There's lots of different options there, but it is worth kind of looking ahead and seeing when those fixtures turn and thinking, right, who can I bring in when those fixtures turn for the players that I've chosen. Long-term thinking is much better, I think, than short-term. Particularly if you look at your team and you think, well, a lot of my players, their fixtures get bad at game week 4. That's a lot of transfers out I'm going to need. Is it worth playing a wild card? I think it's much better to look a bit further than those first 4 game weeks. Captaincy-wise, I'm keeping it simple this season. I'm going with Mo Salah to start with. I've done a captaincy matrix, which is basically nicked from the FPL General. But basically, all you do is go through each of the game week's fixtures, not according to the team that you've got, but who is the best captain option each game week. So look through the fixtures and think, who in the game is going to be the best captain option. I've gone through the first 6, I've gone through the first 8 game weeks, I think, and every time it was Salah or Bruno, with a couple of exceptions. Game week 1, Salah, who's got Norwich away. Game week 2, Salah, who's got Burnley at home. Or you could look at a City player who've got Norwich at home, but again, that's a risk for me. Game week 3, Bruno, who's got Wolves away, or Son/Kane, who've got Watford at home. So game week 3, I'm thinking, I'll hopefully have 2 free transfers. Should I bring in Son or Kane for that fixture and captain them for Watford at home? It depends on how Spurs are playing, but Bruno's also the option there. Game week 4, Bruno's got Newcastle at home. Game week 5, Salah's got Palace at home. Game week 6, Salah's got Brentford away. Game week 7, Bruno's got Everton at home. And game week 8, Salah has got Watford away. Therefore, I'm planning ahead, and I know Bruno and Salah have to be in my game week 1 team because both of them are captain options each game week. So just have a little look at those fixtures and plan ahead for your captaincy as well. But I certainly won't be overthinking it. I also won't be taking many hits this season. I didn't take a load last season, but I was more inclined to play a bit more risky towards the final third. And it made my rank drop from kind of 25k to 90k in the end, which was a bit disappointing. So I'll be playing it much safer this year with things like captain choice and taking hits and picking too many differentials. I won't be doing that, I don't think. Again, it'll all be based on stats, form, fixtures. Those are the 3 things that are key for me. So there we have it. That's my team. I don't think it will change. I'm just going to wait for press conferences. If it does change, I'll update it on Twitter. Get involved in the Triple Captain Mini League. Get involved in Triple Captain this season. It's going to be a great season. And we'd love to have you join our Discord. Follow us on Twitter. Give us a rating on Apple Podcasts and subscribe. That really helps as well. And good luck, everybody. Really, really excited for the new season. Can't wait to get watching football again, and hopefully it kicks off with an Ivan Toney hat-trick against Arsenal tomorrow night.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together, and now they think, maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal trainer session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost £3 this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost £3 this week.
Whoa!
I'm down to 17 stone 4.
I have also lost £3 this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am £1 down this week.
It's all
well
good.
Done, mate.
We've all lost, progress. Which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
Well, that's like a that's more than my baby weighed when he was born, so we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.